Very good. Good evening again. It's really a privilege and an honor to be here tonight. And it's just an honor to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The one who loved us and died for us. If you have your Bible this evening, I'm sure most of you do, let's turn to Psalm chapter 84. Psalm chapter 84, verse 11. Psalm chapter 84, verse 11. Tonight, we'll just look at one verse here. And before we start, I'd just like to say again, thank you, Pastor and church, for all your prayers and faithful support. Because without the local church, I don't think the missionary could do very much at all. In fact, God uses the local church for that reason. Amen. So I just want to thank you all. And I know it's many times a sacrifice, but I know it's also a pleasure to give to missions. But I just want to let you know we really appreciate it. Also, thank you for your prayers and reading the prayer letters and all of that. So we're on the same team, and we'll all get rewarded for it in heaven. Amen. If we do it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Tonight, I'd like to bring you a message, and I titled it, Getting Closer to the Sun. Getting Closer to the Sun. Let's read Psalm 84, verse 11. And the Bible says, For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. I notice also in the last part of that verse how good God is, because the Bible says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. You know, the devil would have you to believe that God is not a good God, that he's not a loving God and compassionate and forgiving, but that's a lie. The Lord is a great and a good God, and he wants to give good things to his children. The Bible says, no good thing will he withhold, amen? But this morning, or tonight, I'd like to focus on the first part. And the Bible says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. So tonight, if I could take the liberty just to preach a little bit about the sun, the literal sun, but also in the Bible, in I believe the book of Malachi, the Bible talks about the sun, S-U-N, really as the Son of God, because it talks about the Son of Righteousness returning with healing in his wings, something to that effect, I believe. But we're going to talk about how the literal sun also symbolizes the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So that's what I'd like to do tonight. And as a matter of introduction, I would just like to say this, that, you know, if you look into the sun on a bright, sunshiny day, you can't look directly into the sun unless you have some kind of shield over your eyes, protective eye gear that would enable you to do that, or you'll go blind. And we can see part of the sun. You can't look directly at the sun, but that just reminded me that as much as we try to know God down here on the earth, and we can know him, amen, we can know him as our Lord and Savior, and we can know him as a believer, and I believe we can seek to know him more every day, and we should, and God will reveal himself to us. In fact, Paul prayed for the believers in Ephesians. He said that God may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So God wants us to know him, but as much as we can know him here, even Paul said that his goal still was to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Even Paul could not come to know Jesus Christ as he wanted to until he made that pass into heaven. And just like you can't look at the sun directly in a bright shining sun or you will go blind, the Bible says, for now we see through a glass darkly, and the glass is the Bible. As much as God gives us on this side, and it's great, and hopefully you're growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, but one day we're going to get up there where the sun's going to shine so brightly, amen, but you won't go blind. And that sun will be the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says there'll be no need of the sun in New Jerusalem because Jesus Christ, he will be the temple up there, and we won't need a sun. But the Bible says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. We shall know him. Amen. And the Bible says that we shall see him face to face. And David said, we shall behold him. We shall behold his face in righteousness. And I shall be satisfied when I awake with his likeness. The Bible says, when we see God, those of us who are saved, if you're not saved, you're not going to see God. And I'm not trying to be mean, but if you're not saved, you will not see God as your friend. You'll see him as your judge. You will see him, and you'll bow the knee, and you'll confess with your tongue that Jesus Christ is the Lord, but he will be your enemy, and God is going to pour out his wrath upon you for having rejected the gift of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But tonight, I want you to know that God loves you and is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if you have a question about that, I'm sure the preacher would want you to come and ask him, or Pastor Seth, or one of the other believers here, or myself, be glad to talk to you about that tonight. First of all, I'd like to say the sun can make you warm. Amen? The sun can make you warm. I don't know about you, but I like sunshine, and I like to be warm. I don't like to be real hot, but I love the sunshine. And I don't like to complain about the weather either. You know, everybody, a lot of people complain about the weather, no matter how nice it is. Say, oh, it's a great day today. Yeah, but it's going to get up to 83 and, you know, humidity and all that. It's hard to find a person, it really is, when you make a comment about how good the weather is, that they don't make it some kind of negative comment. I don't like to do that. I mean, I think it's great, whatever. I mean, even if it's snowing out, which, you know, we've lived in Rochester before we went to the Canary Islands for, I think, 6 or 7 years. I love the snow, but we have to be careful not to complain. But I love warm weather. Over in the Canary Islands, did you notice it's pretty nice temperature over there? I didn't go over there, Pastor, for the temperature. I found that out later, but I know that's where God called us to go. But that's just kind of a blessing, you know. But I tell you what, don't misunderstand. Even though the temperature is great, no humidity, and almost any house on the whole island overlooks the Atlantic Ocean, anytime you're going soul winning or preaching door to door or whatever, you can just turn your back like that and you see the ocean. It's just beautiful. But I tell you what, those people, most of them are lost and they're on their way to hell. And they're blind and they're just like we were, proud and in darkness. And it's we're not having revival over there. There's a lot of rocks in the field. We've got to plow the rocks. But God says plow, because God still wants to save those people. And you know what? We need more missionaries over there. I know you support Brother Sharp on La Palma, I believe it is, right? But there's 5 other islands. We take mission trips, as you saw in the presentation, to other islands. And, you know, that's a great thing. But I personally, I don't see churches, and I'm probably wrong because I can't speak. I don't know everything. But I don't believe, from what I know, that there's too many people trying to get the Word of God out. And I believe there's a lot of people over there that, you know, grew up Catholic. A lot of people now are not real Catholic because they know that it's not true. And they've gone to the other extreme saying, I don't believe in God and I don't believe in anything. So they've gone from one extreme to the other. So in a way, it's good they don't believe in the Catholic Church, but now they still need to be saved. But there's a great need in the Canary Islands. There's a great need all over the world. And there's probably a great need right here in Eden, New York as well. But I like to be warm. I remember when I was a kid, before I was saved, I lived in Ohio, and it used to get cold there also. I used to like to sit in front of the heater vent in the bathroom. In the bathroom! My parents would literally, I'd go in the bathroom, turn on the light, and listen to a hockey game or get out of sports. I really like sports. I love to be warm. Amen? When we lived in Ontario, New York, when it was cold out, but maybe the sun would come up for a while and come in through the kitchen, I'd like to lay down on the kitchen floor and soak up those rays. Amen? But Jesus Christ is the Son of Righteousness. He is our warmth. And I want to tell you tonight, what you need to do is get the warmth of God in your life. Did you know a Christian can become cold after a period of time? It is possible. In fact, Jesus Christ said this. You don't have to turn there, but in Revelation, it's talking about the 7 churches there in the book of Revelation. And the Bible says in Revelation 1:16, out of his mouth, referring to Jesus Christ, went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Jesus said, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and thou canst not bear them which are evil. And it goes on to talk about how they proved the apostles, false apostles, and found them liars. And that was all good. And for my name's sake hast labored. That makes me to understand that they were doing it for him. They weren't doing it for themselves. They weren't doing it for the preacher or for a denomination. For my name's sake, they have labored and have not fainted. They are still serving the Lord. Those are all good things. But Jesus Christ said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. That's interesting to know that God or Jesus could have something against a person who is saved, is doing good works, who is laboring, has patience, is doing it for God, and is still doing those things. And has not fainted, but he said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. That makes me to understand that a Christian can do many good works, And you can fill in the blanks there, including giving to missions, including passing out gospel tracts, including having a family devotion. And those are all good things, and we need to do all those things. I do those things, and I hope you do those things. But evidently here, Jesus Christ is talking about something that in your heart, you don't have that fervency to seek him and to know him and to believe in him like you did before. He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left. You had it. Amen. You had it, but you left your first love. Then he said about the church of Laodicea, he said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. They're right in the middle. I would, listen to this, I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of thy mouth. Not talking about salvation, but it's talking about God's attitude towards a Christian that's lukewarm. That is, he's not hot in the sense that something has happened in his heart. Maybe he's not loving God or totally dedicated to God like he was before. He left that. Maybe he's not seeking God like he was before. But Jesus said that, he said, I'd rather have you cold than lukewarm. He said, I'd rather have you cold or hot. Obviously, he wants you hot, but he says, I don't want you lukewarm. He says, you could be cold. He said, I would that you either cold or hot instead of lukewarm. That's a hard message. I preached up in Eaton, Ohio. I said, and I didn't really repent of it, but I said, you know, according to this verse right here, God's saying, if you're lukewarm and you know you're lukewarm and you stay lukewarm, I said, why don't you just come up and tell the preacher, preacher, I'm lukewarm and I want to stay lukewarm. I don't want to confess any sin. I don't want to grow in the Lord. I just want to stay lukewarm. You might as well just throw in the towel and say, I'm going to go live in the world. That's what I believe. God does not want his children to be lukewarm. Why? Because Jesus gave his life, his body, his soul, his spirit on the cross for each one of you. And God loves you, and that's why he did that. And God says, you know what? I want you to love me with everything you got. Because if you don't, God's jealous. God's very patient. Amen? That's why I'm still here. If God wasn't patient, I would not be here, even as a Christian. And probably many of you also. It doesn't mean we're perfect, but it does mean we want to get close to God. Amen? We want to love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Young men, there's nothing better in this world than to serve the living God and his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Older men, there's nothing in this world better than knowing and serving God and loving him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And middle-aged men and women, the same thing. We need to get close to the sun. Just like I like to get warm, I don't like to be cold. I'm kind of a sissy like that. I do not like to be cold. I love to be warm, and I love the sunshine, and I think God gives us that. If you find yourself maybe getting a little bit cold to the things of God, you find maybe your heart is not as close to God as it used to be, maybe you need to examine yourself, like Paul said. I remember in the story in the Old Testament when David was getting close to death, and I didn't look up the verse, I didn't really have time, but I believe it said something like he was cold. And so in order to increase his body heat, they picked out a maiden, a virgin. There was no sin or anything done like that. I would not necessarily suggest doing that anyway, but they did. But you know what? There's another way to get warmed up with the Bible. Amen? With the Bible. Jeremiah 23:29 says, is not my word like as a fire and as a hammer that breaketh the rock into pieces? The word of God is like a fire. If you read it, it'll warm your heart. And I'm not saying we always live by emotion. Sometimes you may not feel anything. But whether you feel it or not, it's a fire, and it's going to enter into your heart. And one way or another, the Word of God will change your life if you want it to. You can resist it, and it probably won't change your life, although you'll be convicted about it for a while. But if you want God, that fire will enter into there. And Jeremiah said the Word of God was like a burning in my heart. And he said, I could not withstand and forbear any longer. He said, I'm going to go preach the Word. He had to warm up to God. Not only that, the Word of God can not only make you warm, it can make you hot. I was thinking about this. As the sun sends down its rays, you can get like a magnifying glass, and those rays enter that glass, and I don't know how it does it, But if you're aiming at a piece of paper or an ant or something like that, it'll burn that. Amen? And when God sends the Holy Spirit, and that glass is like the Bible, because it's the Bible says it's a glass, amen, that's a dark glass, the Bible says, and James talked about looking in the mirror and reflecting God's word at you. So when God's Spirit interacts with the Word of God, it comes through on the end, other end, and it can burn sin out of your life. Amen? Jesus said, now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. You want to be clean? I'd rather take a bath in the Bible than take a shower in my shower. I'd rather be clean with God. I mean, we should take baths, obviously, but the most important thing is let God's Word work in your life. Not only that, God's face will give you warmth. David said in Psalms 119, you don't have to turn there, God's face, he says, make thy face to shine upon thy servant and teach me thy statutes. David said, I want to see God's face. You can't see it with the physical eye, but you can with the spiritual eye. You can't see an image or anything like that, but you can know that God loves you. You can know that God is a forgiving God, a compassionate God, and you can know these things about God. In that sense, you see God by faith. And David said, I want to see the face of God. Now in Psalms 34, verse 5, the Bible says, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. You know, if you seek God, when that sunshine comes down upon you and you're looking up to God, just like if you're out in the sun for very long, you're going to get a suntan. People say, oh, you've been out in the sun. Amen? If you spend time in the Word and meditation and seeking the Lord, you're going to shine. And the Bible says, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. I believe you can tell when somebody's walking with God and knows God in many times, not every day necessarily, but you can see many times that God lives in a person because he shines from within. That person is seeking God. Not only that, the sun is the source and sustainer of all life. It's the source and sustainer of all life. Jesus Christ is the creator of everything. The Bible says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. He is the source of all life. He's the sustainer of all life. Let's go to Romans chapter 8 for just a moment. Romans chapter 8. Just like the physical sun sends its rays down to the earth, and I don't know much about this at all, but I'll pretend like I do. I just read it on the internet, but I should have learned it in school. But the sun sends rays down to the earth, and there's energy in those rays. And the plants would not live, algae and bacteria would not live, nothing would live without the sun. We know that. But it combines with carbon dioxide and water and converts it into living sugars, which enables the plant to live. It produces food for the plant. That's called photosynthesis. And Jesus Christ lives in my heart, but every day I need to take the light of the Bible and the light of God and have it shine in my mind, my inner man, so that I can put faith in Jesus Christ who lives in me. And by that food that God gives me, by a spiritual photosynthesis, I can have the power of God in my life. And the Bible says that you might be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That's your mind, your soul, and your emotions, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. We need to, every single day, to have this light shine in my soul so that I can put faith in Jesus Christ who lives in me. That I might be rooted and grounded in love, the Bible says, and live the Christian life. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. And the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So we're saved, we're in Christ Jesus. But then it says also, after you're saved, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So God wants us to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that's by putting faith in Jesus Christ, in him every day. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It's the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of what? Of life. A Christian should be experiencing life as a Christian. Amen? It's a law that when you put faith in Jesus Christ, Colossians 2:5, as we have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk ye also in him. It's by faith. God's already done the work. We're already crucified with him. We're already risen with him. We need to put faith in the Word of God. Let it enter as the sun's rays, enter into the soul. Let it convert, however God does it, in faith, and produce the food of the Spirit every day. We can say that's God's photosynthesis, and it's just receiving it. The plant receives it and automatically does it. God set it up that way. We can receive God's Word every day and His Spirit, and by faith, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how God does it. He says, by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so a Christian should manifest what? The life of God in his life. I'm all for, and I believe I have a gift of, I'm thinking Spanish sometimes, entre comillas, but in quotations, of confrontational evangelism. Now, I don't know if that's a good term, because it's not like you go up and threaten to hit the guy in the mouth. I mean, I love to pass out tracts. My wife says, how can you just go up to complete strangers? I think it's just a gift God's given me. It doesn't bother me at all. I mean, sometimes it does, but most of the time it does. But I love it. I love to go up to people, and it doesn't bother me to go into apartments or knock on people's doors or whatever. We like to preach and open air evangelism as well. I like to do that. But also, you know what? If people don't see Jesus Christ living in us, it's not going to be very good, is it? It might be more of a detriment, you know? But they need to see a life of God in us. That's what they need to see. That's for sure. The Son gives you life, and the Son gives you light also. It gives you light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, you don't have to turn there, but the Bible says, this then is a message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Amen? That's good. In God, there's no darkness at all. And if we live by the power of the Spirit, we don't have to live in darkness. Now, we're all sinners, and we need to confess our sin if we do commit a sin. But the Bible says God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. I want to walk in the light, amen, so I can have fellowship with other Christians and have the effect of God on my life. I don't know about you, but light makes me happy. You know, when the sun comes up in the morning, I say, oh, praise the Lord. You know, it's just automatic. Praise the Lord. There's light. But if it's cloudy and rainy, well, I got to work it out. Okay, thank you, Lord, right? I'm sure we need that. But when the sun comes up, praise the Lord. You know, it's automatic. God's put that in us. Light should make us happy. My wife lived in Finland for a few months on a student exchange program with a family over there. And she said during the wintertime, the days become real long in darkness. And you only have a few hours, I don't know exactly how many, just a minimal number of hours that is light. It could be dark up till 3 in the afternoon. Is that right? Somewhere around there? And it makes people depressed. And it has a significantly high rate of suicide also. Light makes you happy. If you want to have a good family, why don't you live in the Lord's light? It'll make you happy. It'll make your spouse happy. It'll make your kids happy. You'll have the life of God living in you and through you. You'll have a happy family. You'll have a happy church if you live in the light of God. Not only that, but light will guide you. The Bible says in Psalms 119, I believe it's verse 135. Let's go there for just a moment. Psalms 119, verse 135. Psalm 119, actually it's verse 130. 119, 130, the Bible says, the entrance of thy words giveth what? Amen. Let those words enter in and meditate on them. Think about them. Pray over them. God, help me to understand this. Lord, help me to do it in my life. I love to meditate on the Bible. Especially I like to meditate, guess what? On the love of God. That's just one of my favorite things to do since way back, since 25 years ago, because I really needed that in my life, and I do it almost every day. And I've got verses memorized on that topic, and I know I probably need to meditate on other things more often as well. But the more you meditate on the Word of God, it just seems like it enters into your brain, enters into your heart, and it's just there. Amen? And it'll start changing you. I like to go up to people sometimes, and when I give them a tract, it tells you how much God loves you. And you know what? It's coming out of my heart. because I meditated on it. And I'm kind of slow, I'm kind of hard-headed, but you know, maybe all them years meditating, something got down in there. And I can tell from my heart, God loves you. And you know what? Most people will take a track. When you tell them from your heart that God loves you and you have a smile on your face, something like that, most people, even in America, will take a track. And even in Spain, too. I mean, not always. I mean, sometimes you have to kind of talk directly and sometimes be bold to them. I've done that, too. I mean, it's just whatever God tells you to do, right? Doesn't mean you don't love them. If you tell them they're going to hell, doesn't mean you don't love them. You're telling them the truth, and hopefully you're telling them the truth in love, right? I was at the filling station the other day. I can't remember where we were exactly, because I've been like in 8 states in 10 days since we've been back. But yeah, I gave a track to a couple people, but there's a motorcycle guy came in with a big leather jacket and everything, you know, and he didn't look too rough or anything, but I gave a track. He said, oh, great. He said, I'll let my wife read it. And as he was walking out, I'm trying to think, I said, be a man and you read it first, you know. Well, that just kind of started. Then other people wouldn't take tracks for anything. I just started kind of letting them know, hey, you're going to go to hell if you don't get saved, you know. And I ended up telling 3 or 4 people that. But it doesn't mean I don't love them. That's just what God told me to say. And, you know, Jesus also was direct sometimes as well. We know that. But the Bible says here, the entrance of thy words giveth light. More than once, God has directed me on what to do in my life and for the will of God in my life through the Bible. God called me to Canary Islands through the Bible. Through a preaching service where the missionary preached and God spoke to me through the Word of God in a preaching service. And then God detailed more details for me step by step through either preaching or my devotion time in a Bible. And I don't have time to show you that. But that has been for me not only in that, but for example, my 2 girls went to Bible college and God showed me out of the Bible what they were to do about that. I mean, it's amazing what God can show you if you believe this right here. The entrance of thy words giveth light. And then look at verse 33 or 133. Order my steps in what? In thy word. Now, it's good to get counsel. You should do that. That's biblical also. You should do that. You should counsel with your preacher and the pastors of the church and so forth. But I believe God will also show you out of the Bible to be in agreement with that. God will show you what you need to do. And that's a blessing. The Word of God brings light and guidance in your life. It'll make you happy. Then, lastly, the light allows you to work. You can't work very good in the darkness. Well, of course, nowadays we can. You can work third shift because we got the light bulb and all that. But if there were no light bulbs or candles, you couldn't work very much. Jesus said there's 12 hours in every day. And the Bible says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, this one fella, you know, we all know, predicted, I don't know much about it, but predicted the second coming, I guess it was, or the rapture of the church, was it? Didn't happen. But you know what? I believe the Lord is coming back soon. And we need to be busy about the Lord's work, right? There's 12 hours in a day. Don't waste a day. You can carry gospel tracts. You can say, God, who do you want me to witness to? Lord, help me to be busy for you. On that note, I wish you'd go with me to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. And I'll be done here in about 5 or 6 minutes. Luke chapter 14, verse 16. Luke chapter 14, verse 16. Luke chapter 14, verse 16. The Bible says, he said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time. You know what? I think it's just about supper time. It's supper time because God's going to judge the earth and he's going to call the birds to eat the flesh of men after the battle of Armageddon. It's going to be supper time. But there's going to be people that were killed in Armageddon that we could have witnessed to, very possibly, that will die and go to hell because we, possibly, did not do what God wanted us to do. It's also supper time because there's going to be a judgment seat of Christ, and it's supper time to those who will receive Christ in their heart. It's supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Jesus Christ has already died for your sins. He's already forgiven you of your sins. He's already risen from the dead. He's interceding for you today. And if you're not saved, everything's all ready for you. You just have to sit down and say, Lord Jesus, take my sin away. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I believe you're God. I believe you died for my sins. You rose from the dead. I repent of my sin, and I trust Jesus Christ. But it's not just with this. It's with this first. And then this. But all things are now ready. You can be saved today. Christian, you can, if your heart has been a little bit cold towards God or the things of God, God said, I'll forgive you right now. Just confess it to me, and I'll warm up to you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. That's a promise. All things are now ready. God wants to have supper with you. And it starts with your heart. And the Bible says in verse 18, they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. What excuse do you have? What if God would knock on your heart, your life tonight, and say, I want you to surrender to be a missionary. I want you to surrender to be a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or whatever it is. I don't know, but what if God said, I want you just to love me with all your heart. I want you to be willing to do whatever I want you to do. And he may not tell you tonight, but would you be willing to say, God, I will serve you however you want. That's what God wants. And the servant came and showed his Lord these things. People made excuses, and Christians make excuses also. Then the master of the house, being angry, God doesn't like it when we make excuses, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. God wants us not only to preach the gospel inside the church, but outside the church. If it is supper time, God is saying, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes. We need to get the gospel out to the people. Amen? It has to be an offensive strategy. In any ball game, any type of sports, you normally can't win just by having a great defense. If you have a great defense and have no offense or little offense, you're probably not going to win. And so he said in verse 22, and a servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And what did the Lord say? And the Lord said unto the servant, after all, we are servants, right? We're servants. That means we're supposed to do what God wants us to do. And Jesus said, you know what? If you do what you want me to do, he said, you'll save your life. He said, if you do what you want to do, you're going to lose it. And that's true as a Christian also, right? God loves you. He wants to bless you, but he's looking for people to serve him, and he'll bless you. Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that what? That my house may be full. You know why? Because God loves, listen to this, God loves every human being on planet Earth. Amen? That's what mission is all about. God loves people. He made every person. He knows everything about every person. And he loves you. We look on the outside, and sometimes, you know, being sinful flesh like him, say, well, how could, you know, I don't even know if I love that person. But I think, no, God loves that person. And I need to ask God to help me to love that person. It is true. Man looketh on the outward appearance many times, but God looketh upon the heart. And then lastly, I know I just have a short period of time, but I want you to go with me to Psalm 139, verses 7 to 12, and then we'll finish with that. My last point is the sun shines at night, but obviously at 2 or 3 in the morning we don't see it, but it's still shining. So when you're going through problems in your life as a Christian, you know, afflictions or trials or whatever it is, and maybe it's as dark as it's ever been in your life, I want you to know the sun is still shining. But there's another thing up there called the moon, and the moon reflects that light down to us. Many times on the Canary Islands, we have a balcony out of our bedroom, and it faces the ocean, and a lot of times there's a full moon there. We have the most beautiful sunrises, sunsets, and moonlight, and a lot of times it just shines right on the ocean. It just light the ocean right up for a mile or so, as far as you can see. But you know what? The sun represents God, and the moon represents the church, because we're supposed to reflect the light of the sun, just like the moon reflects the light of God, and it comes down to the earth. We're supposed to reflect the light of God to the world so that the world can be saved and we can be salt. But also, I want to say this. When you're going through a hard time as a Christian, God wants other Christians to be that moonlight to help you out, because the Bible says, bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. And so God's looking for Christians that will help you through your hard times. And the Bible says right here, let's just read verse 9. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, Even there, thy hand shall lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me. Maybe you feel that way tonight. Surely the darkness is covering me. But you can still have a heart for God. Doesn't mean you don't love God. It just means you're having a hard trial. The darkness is covering you. Even the night shall be light about me. Because God is still shining, and he still loves you, and he's going to get you through it if you'll trust in him. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night does what? Shineth as the day. The darkness and the light to God are both alike. So I want to encourage you tonight. If you're going through a dark valley in your life, maybe the darkest ever, just remember, with God, he's still shining, and God says, you know what? The darkness and the light to me are exactly the same. You may feel like you're down in the lowest part of hell, but I'm telling you, God's right there with you. And if you'll trust in him, he'll bring you out of that. But don't go back to the world. Don't leave your heart, you know, don't get a cold heart. Get warmed up. Spend time in the Word. Get that. Let that fire enter into your heart. Let the rays of God's love come in and heal you and bring you up out of that darkness. Amen? So I'm going to stop right there. And I hope God's spoken to your heart. And I don't know what if he has spoken, I don't know what he's telling you. I'm not that great for invitations, but I'm just going to say, if God's spoken to your heart and you want to come, and I come a lot at our home church, when God speaks to me, I've learned just to come. I don't care what anybody thinks. If God's spoken to my heart, I'll go. I'm a missionary, but I'll go up. Amen? And you know what? When you get here and pray, you say, man, I'm glad I'm talking to the Lord about this. You can pray in your seat, but if God's telling you to come up, you come up and talk to the Lord. And Pastor, you want to sing a song or something? And God bless you, and we appreciate everything that you do for us. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Amen. All right.